Hello, and thank you for clicking on the link to open this podcast. Today we're talking about everything to do with school governors. Who are they and what do they do? How do they help the school? Indeed, are they necessary at all? There's little doubt my guests today would all answer yes to that last question. With me are three people at the sharp end of school governing, so to speak. Judith Ogan, who's head of Governor Services for West Sussex County Council. Mark Dunn, the County Cabinet Member for Children and Young People's Services, in other words, the politician who oversees everything to do with schools in West Sussex. And Tina Waugh, mum of two and a school governor herself. Let's start with the lady doing the job. Tina Waugh, why did you want to become a school governor?
I've got two children at the school, and in the Parents Post, which is the newsletter that comes from the school, they're advertising for a parent governor. At the time, I was a little bit disappointed at my son's progress at the school, and he's a bit of a stroppy teenager at the moment, and I said, how do you feel about me becoming a governor at your school? And he was, well, you know, I'm not really bothered, Mum, and I don't think it would really make a difference. And I found that quite disappointing, so I thought, well, instead of moaning about it, I thought I'd do something positive and put myself forward to become a governor so I could actually try and improve and help the school improve their standards. If you put yourself forward for these sorts of things, you actually can make a difference to things.
And how long have you been doing it?
Nearly a year now.
And is it what you thought it was going to be?
No, actually. I was quite intimidated to start with because I thought that they'd all be really well-educated people and, I didn't know how I'd be able to contribute. And the first couple of meetings I went to, I was quite intimidated and didn't feel as though I was confident enough to actually raise any questions. But they were all really, really friendly, and there was a lot of training that they provide. So I booked onto a couple of the training sessions, and from there I spoke to lots of other new governors, and we all had sort of the same experiences and the same worries and the same concerns. And I found that that was really reassuring, and that built up my confidence. So a couple of meetings after that, I had started to raise questions, and then I realised that maybe I didn't use the same terminology as they did, and I came over in more of a basic English, but actually what I had to say was really relevant.
Had you ever done anything like this before?
No, I hadn't, no. And being back in sort of around that table with the governors, there was the head teacher and things like that, and I felt like I was back at school to start with, which was sort of quite intimidating. Then I realised that actually they're a person, and actually I was grown up now and wasn't at school myself. So once I got over my own insecurities, and the training did help with that as well, yeah, it was okay.
Is it difficult to do? Are there lots of complicated issues that you have to grasp?
Initially, there's so much that you have to learn, it can be quite extremely overwhelming. I suppose the thing I would say is to keep persevering, and if you want to become a governor, don't let that put you off, because they do provide training. You're not expected to learn things straight away, you're not expected to make any sort of contribution straight away. The school I'm a governor at had a really good induction programme, and they gave you a tour around the school and they explained things, and there is a lot of terminology and long words and jargon, but people do explain that to you. The only thing I would say is that you just have to have the confidence to say, actually, I don't understand that.
Well, you keep coming back to training. Let me turn now to Judith Ogan, who's head of Governor Services. Judith, you run something called the Governor's Support and Training Team, which by its very title suggests that there is a lot of support.
Yes, Governor Services provides a range of opportunities for governors. We provide support when they need it. We provide briefing sessions which alert governors to issues that are coming up and need to be on termly agendas. And we have a full learning and development programme.
Once you are a governor, are you automatically put on some kind of training programme?
When you become a governor, we hope that your own school will give you a good local induction, but we provide a welcome pack from Governor Services, which includes the basic information you need to get you started and details about the courses that are available.
And what sort of courses are they? What do you have to be trained in?
What we would advise all new governors to do is our induction programme, because that gets you up and running quickly. And I think it gives new governors the confidence if they go on the induction training and find out the basics.
Give me an idea of what this training actually consists of. What sort of things do you learn?
About the background of school governance, the range of different governor posts that there are, how people become governors, the basic roles and responsibilities that you will be taking on, which are arranged around three key roles. The first is the strategic role, the governing body helping to set with the head teacher the strategic direction for the school. And then the role that's sometimes called the critical friend role of monitoring and evaluating the school's progress.
In practical terms, can you give me some examples of issues that school governors might have to decide?
First of all, I think governors need to be familiar with what their school is trying to achieve. They need to know what their school's aims are.
Well, presumably a good education for the children. Yeah.
But every school, I think, will have its own particular ethos, and governors need to be well tuned into that, so that then they can help with evaluating where the school is now and what it will need to do if it wants to achieve the aims that it's set itself in the long term.
That's sort of long-term strategic aims for a governor, but can you give us some practical examples of issues that a governor might have to decide, just theoretical ones, for example?
Well, for example, the school might be reviewing its behaviour policy, and governors would want to be able to have a discussion about that, talk about what they think should be the key focus of their behaviour policy, and then when the policy is in place, perhaps to come into school and take observations around the school to see how that policy is being implemented.
What about things like how good the teachers are, whether they've got the right set of teachers there, whether or not they should be wearing school uniforms all the time, or, you know, be told off for looking scruffy on the way home? I mean, are these issues that governors would get involved in?
I think you're talking there about much more operational issues, really. Governors are looking at the broad picture, making sure there's a framework and policies in place, making sure they know their school thoroughly, so they're aware of where its strengths are and where its areas for development are, so that they can support and challenge the head teacher and senior leaders in the school to make sure they get the very best for every child that's there.
I mean, some people might say that because you've got a professional head teacher and senior leaders in the school, that really they're far best placed to do it. And what on earth do you have a board of governors for anyway?
Well, schools are very much part of their community, and although the head and the senior leaders might be there at that particular point in time, ultimately it's the community's school, and I would like to see the governing body as being there as representatives of their community, ensuring that the school provides the best possible for the young people that live there.
And what sort of people are you looking for to become governors?
No one particular sort of person. I think the important thing is that there's a good balance on any governing body, so a balance of backgrounds, of interests, of skills. People who do have time to spare, because this isn't something that you can do without a fair amount of time to commit to it.
Okay, so what sort of time is involved?
It will vary from school to school, but I would think most governing bodies now meet as a full governing body about twice a term. And there will also be committees which you will be invited to join, and that will take up time as well. Governors will also need to undertake the training we've talked about and have time to come into school in working hours so they can actually see for themselves what the children in the school are doing.
And how do you actually select the governors?
There are various ways in which people become governors. All governing bodies will have parent governors and staff governors who are elected by the parents and by the staff. There will also be local authority governors. If it's a church school, there will be foundation governors who will be put forward by the diocese. And there will also be community governors that the governing body will select to have in place.
So governors are drawn from all different categories then?
Yes, representatives from all different aspects of the school's community. Every governing body will have about a third of its members who are parents, but the rest of the members will be made up by the range of people that I've mentioned.
Now, the head teacher is captain of the ship, so to speak. What sort of relationship or perhaps partnership exists between the head and the governors?
That's a key relationship. It's quite clear from research that has taken place that unless there is a really strong, open relationship between head teacher and governing body, the governing body is unlikely to be effective. So it's really important that there's mutual trust, that they share things together and talk about all the issues that are of interest to both of them.
Let's turn now to Mark Dunn, who's the County Council Cabinet Member for Children and Young People's Services. Mark, getting people to become school governors is something you're particularly keen on, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I must say how delighted I was to hear Tina's story and her persistence. Picking up something that Judith just said, schools are community leaders. They are very, very important bodies within their communities. Just on sheer weights of numbers, a large secondary school in West Sussex is likely to have, 3,000 parents and a huge influence on what happens in its local community. So the task of helping the head teacher steer that ship is extremely important. I'm very keen indeed that people in local communities should take a real interest in their schools and should aspire to be governors of these very important organisations.
Is there a lack of governors across West Sussex?
Well, paradoxically, we do quite well. And I think I'm right in saying, Judith, aren't I, that we've got fewer vacancies than most similar shire counties.
We have, but the problem is it's a bit like a sieve, because as soon as we put some new governors in the top, some retire at the bottom. So
exactly.
It's an ongoing task.
So we need a constant stream of new applicants.
There's one point I want to pick up on before we finish, that this is in fact a public office as well as being an unpaid one. Can somebody explain to me what it means to be a public office?
Well, the governors are constitutionally extremely important. For example, when Ofsted visit a school, they address their report to the chairman of the governing body. Behind that lies a very important point that I'd like to make, that the agenda for governing bodies is set partly by their own observation of the school's health generally, and partly by what is said about it in the highly technical, detailed Ofsted reports. And they will steer the head teacher and his staff down various paths, hoping that leads to improvement. But I think more important than that, they have a role as encouragers and as ambassadors for the school within the local community.
On a legal point, can a governor be sued if something goes wrong or the school is failing? Is the governor personally liable for anything?
Not if actions have been carried out in good faith. The governing body, and this is a very important point, I think, it's a corporate body, that individual governors don't have responsibility or rights of their own. It's all invested in the governing body as a whole. And I think that can be quite comforting for new governors, because it means that it doesn't rest on their shoulders, that it's a shared responsibility. And provided that the governing body is acted in good faith, then there won't be any comeback on the role that they've played.
Well, there you have it. Lots of information about being a school governor. My thanks to my three guests today, Mark Dunn, Cabinet Member for Children and Young People's Services, Judith Hogan, Head of Governor Services, and Tina Waugh, one of our West Sussex school governors. If you're interested in following up what you've heard, you'll see beside this podcast link one which will take you straight to the Governor Services pages. So we'd urge you to go. Thanks for listening.